And good morning. Welcome back. We're having a great conversation here with Florence Schutze Reynolds, one of the original WASP Women Air Force Service pilots. And she's here this week checking out the sights and making sure that we are all on the straight and narrow. I'm just amazed by the energy and the stories that you have. And we'll see if we can share a few more here. We're talking during the break about some of her experiences while flying. We kind of left off, you just finished your pilot training, and what kind of aircraft did you end up flying during your service with the WASP?
Well, it was a basic training field where I was assigned, but there was always different aircraft coming in. And every time something different came in, I would run down, and I just got to have time on it. There wasn't time to get checked out.
Right.
And I got to fly an A-24, C-47, C-54, B-25.
My goodness. Which one is your favorite?
The one I'm in.
That is the standard pilot line. It's either the one I'm in or the one I just got done flying.
Uh-huh.
And you traveled. We talked about going to Oklahoma City, but you traveled around to other bases throughout the country. You were talking about being in Alaska and seeing a B-29.
Yes, I went from flying safety in North Carolina. I took a job then, left there, went to Alaska, and was a link trader operator, which allowed me to fly on the B-29s on the surveillance of Russia. From there, I went back home for a short time. Then I got Navy orders and a round trip ticket to go to the Panama Canal.
Oh my goodness!
And I had met my future husband on a trip as I was going to Alaska. He was going back to Panama because he works on the surge locks, and he was tired of me running all around the country. He says, "Come." I came. I said, "It's a round trip ticket." He says, "If we get married, you could stay." So we got married, and I stayed there for 16 years.
Oh, my goodness.
During that time, I was the administrative officer for the Air Depot.
Okay.
And that's where I went. Every lunch hour, I went to a different shop, and I learned all the different crafts.
Amazing.
Which came in handy years later.
And how did that come in handy?
Well, because when I came back to the States, the WASP had an organization, the WASP of World War II. They wanted to establish a store so that they could get funding, so that to keep the operation going, and they offered it to me. It was a go, and I was able to raise enough money that they could travel. They could travel around, and we could do the things we wanted to do. I had videos, books, what I couldn't find, I made. I'm a silversmith. I learned that in one of the many shops that I went through at the Air Depot.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah, and you also had a B-29 flight just this week.
Yes.
On CAF's B-29 with Heather Penny and another of your WASP cohorts.
Yeah.
Who was here. Any bells and whistles on that one, or was it pretty smooth?
No, it was pretty smooth.
Okay.
It was a great ride.
Now, one of the things that we've been talking about is using the story of the WASP and the rise above, that concept with the Commemorative Air Force of using a rising above your circumstances as education. And the WASP obviously have done that. I mean, the program was a success during the war, came to an abrupt halt, and then for most of the next 25, 30 years, the program was really kept under wraps, finally broke loose in the later 70s, and now we're finally coming to appreciate and share that story. And how do you feel about sharing that story with future generations now?
I think it's great. I'm glad they're interested, that I've try to instill in them a desire to learn to fly. I'm surprised that they hesitate. I mean, when I was a kid, I made 1,000 aircraft models. Everything was on flying. My brother was a Boy Scout, and he got the Life magazine. There was always an article on aviation. He made sure I got to see the article. And they asked the youngsters today, "What do you advise?" I said, "Get an education. Get as much education as you can get. And you will come in handy. You'll be surprised. And don't hesitate to take advantage of something that comes along." So you fail. That doesn't say you're going to fail on the next one. Besides, you get experience.
That's right. I know down at Sweetwater, they're working on a permanent museum facility down there.
It is already permanent.
Right.
It's at the old base.
Mm-hmm.
It was on the other side of the field. Where we trained. If they always said, "You land over here. Don't go over there. That's civilians."
Okay.
But now that's where the hangar that's there is now the museum.
Okay.
And some of the things I had in storage when we dissolved in 2009, I'm trying to push over into them as I dissolve my own shop.
Okay. So with the WASP program and the things that are going on, you've been back to homecoming in Sweetwater.
That happens always
over the Memorial Day weekend.
That's right.
Have you had a chance to fly in any of the older airplanes that have been there?
Yes. Well, I mean, there are different organizations around the country, like Aegis Aviation. They were having the steerman. I got a ride on them on 4th of July. In Sweetwater, I didn't get a chance. Now, the big problem is, you still do fly. I sometimes have trouble getting into my van. Getting into an airplane is something else again. But it does happen now. When I went on the steerman flight, I had a young man drive me because my eyesight, which is not as good as it used to be, and he was a little annoyed because nobody offered him a ride. And I says, "Hey, look, you wait 70 years like I did, you'll get a ride."
There you go. And we are joined by Heather Penny, who.
Good morning.
Hi, love.
Good morning, Heather.
Good morning.
For kind of getting in the middle here, Heather is, I guess, maybe a modern-day WASP, or at least someone who took her inspiration from the original WASP, the spirit grandmothers, as I believe you refer to them.
Yes, I have. I mean, in many ways, also guardian angels.
Okay. And Heather is a former F-16 pilot and now works for Lockheed. So she's here not only doing work with the Commemorative Air Force for the Rise Above program, but also for your regular job.
That's right.
As well.
Yeah.
And
Heather... Come see us at the Lockheed booth, giving away simulator rides. So come and fly our simulator for the T-50.
Okay. Heather is, as I said, was an F-16 pilot and now retired from the military. And she, I guess, it claimed to fame or infamy, was actually on alert on 9/11 and was one of the F-16s dispatched to potentially take down Flight 93.
Well, and actually, we weren't on alert because, if you remember at the time, right. It was after the peace dividend and the Soviet Union had fallen, and so we didn't have alert at the time. So when we scrambled our jets, it wasn't a true scramble because they weren't hot-cocked, we didn't have any weapons, and so we were just rising to the occasion.
And as it turned out, the Flight 93, the passengers took over before you had to execute your orders.
That's right.
But as you have spoken recently about your service in the military, you were the only female in your training class, the only one in the squadron, and again, you kind of take inspiration from the original WASP program and what they went through to give you support for what you were going through.
That's right. When people ask me what it was like to fly the F-16, my response is, you know, the jet doesn't care whether or not you're a man or a woman. It just cares whether or not you know your stuff. Do you know your numbers? Are you good stick? But being in the squadron as the first and only female had its own challenges, and I was totally isolated at that point in time, you know, before the internet had been invented and social media. And so in many ways, it was the history of the WASPs, and knowing that these courageous women had gone before me gave me the inspiration and some days gave me the strength to continue to go on.
Wow.
Thank you.
You you told us a story the other night about taking your two kids to daycare on base.
That's right. You know, and that's one reason why I think it's so important that we're able to produce this film and bring the story of the WASP to school children around the world. Our goal is to raise enough funding to shoot the film and then also have the portable dome theaters so that we can take them to schools in the 17 and 18 school year and tell your story, tell the story of the WASPs. Because representation matters. If you see it, you can do it, you know, and for kids, that's really important. And I tell the story about my daughters, and it's, unlike most fighter pilot stories, 100% true. You know, when I was back in the days when I was still actively in the jet, flying at the fighter squadron, I had my daughters in base daycare, and we would drive in the North Gate. And my oldest, who was at the time just a little bit over four, she knew every aircraft on that base. And we'd drive past the tank. She said, "Look, Mommy, there's the tankers. They give you gas. And there's the Phantom, and there's the Thud. Look, there's Mommy's Vipers," right? And she knew I was a fighter pilot. And we get to the base daycare, and she sees this gentleman walk out in a flight suit. And he was a crew chief or something like that. I mean, I could read his patches. But to her, Nomex meant fighter pilot. And she looked at him, and she was utterly indignant. She put her hands on her hips, and she said, "Mommy, daddies can't be fighter pilots. Only mommies are fighter pilots. Daddies don't fly jets." You know, and so I think that the power of that story, and, you know, first time I was like, yes.
Yeah.
And then I was, okay, now, sweetheart, we have to have a conversation, because even daddies can grow up to be anything they want to be.
Right.
You know, but that's a great story to show how important representation is. Having role models can expand your imagination of what your potential is. And even if the young women that see the film that we're making, even if they don't go into aviation, at least they know that women have broken barriers, and that they have done those same things. And so it's about not only showing the role models to these young people about what the art of the possible is, but it's also about giving them the tool sets they need internally as characters. You know, the six attributes of Rise Above are really important tool sets to help them have the strength and really kind of give them a recipe for how to go do and achieve their dreams in the face of barriers.
And I agree that story perfectly illustrates what we're trying to accomplish with Rise Above, is that when you take away the barriers, anything is possible. And you've proved that in the 1940s. You've proved it recently, and we hope that combined you'll be able to prove it to future generations of both young ladies and young men, to say you can do it. You can rise above whatever your circumstances are. And we really appreciate you, both of you, spending your time here today, but also for the effort and the energy you're putting into the CAS Rise Above WASP project.
Well,
if someone
you.
Wants to get interested, How can they do it? How can they get
perfect segue. Thank you, Steve. I was just going to say, so riseabovewasp.org is our website. We've got an opportunity for people to be able to donate and support the program there. Like I said, we need to raise $1 million in order to be able to make this go. So we're beginning to make the interviews of the WASP so we can capture their knowledge and their expertise and begin filming on production. So please, believe, you know, this is incredibly important, because it's not just about keeping the legacy and the story of the WASPs alive, but it's about making sure that their legacy doesn't die with them, that it lives on in our future generation. So riseabovewasp.org, and also look for our Kickstarter campaign in September.
Sounds good. And the Lockheed booth, stop by and see you. You'll be here throughout the rest of the week.
That's right. So come fly our T-50 simulator. It's what we're offering to the Air Force as the T-38 replacement.
Excellent. Heather Lucky Penny, your call sign. Thank you for joining us. Florence Schutze Reynolds, it has been a pleasure and an honor to have you on the show this morning.
It was my honor. Believe me, I'm just flabbergasted this morning.
Good. This is From the Stand. I'm Steve Buss, and you're listening to EIA Radio.